David had killed Goliath. He'd already become a national hero. Because of that, King Saul had given him a leadership position in the army. And in that leadership position, God had continued to bless David, giving him military victories. They were fighting the Philistines at this point in time, and David just won victory after victory after victory because God was with him. After one such victory, the army was marching back into town, and the women, the Bible says, came out of all the cities. And again, those little words in the Bible, they're important. They came out of all the cities, singing and dancing and playing musical instruments to meet the soldiers that were returning from the war, and they came out to celebrate their victory. And so, again, they were playing their musical instruments, they were singing, they were dancing, and they were rejoicing in the Lord, for the Lord had given Israel a victory again over the Philistines. And they began to chant, a little chant. Saul had slain his thousands, and Saul was the king at this point. Saul had slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. Now we read, Saul got angry, and he got jealous. And he said to himself, they've given David credit for killing 10,000, and they've only given me credit for killing thousands. The only thing left for him to do is take over the kingdom, is to take my spot as the king. And we read that verse, that Bible says that Saul eyed David from that day forward. He was suspicious of him. He was afraid he was going to take over the kingdom. Next day, as we read, the Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. This has had happened before. It had happened when David was still a boy. And when that evil spirit came upon Saul, Saul asked his servants, he said, find me a lad that can play the harp, because music was soothing to Saul's soul. And one of Saul's servants said, well, there's a little shepherd boy, I've heard him play the harp, he's really good. He's the son, youngest son of Jesse. And so Saul sent for David, and every time that Saul had an evil spirit come upon him, David would take the harp and play a song for Saul and soothe that spirit. Now, again, David was probably an older teenager at this point. I think he was still a teenager when he killed Goliath. I think he was still a teenager, an older teenager, when Saul put him in charge of a part of the army. And I think he was still a teenager when he was winning these victories over the Philistines. And he was probably still a teenager on this particular occasion when he had gone in before Saul to play the harp to soothe his spirit. And the jealousy in Saul caused him to take the javelin or the spear that was in his hand, and he said, I'll just take care of this problem right now. I don't need to be jealous of David. I'll just kill him right now. And the Bible says that he threw that javelin at David, trying to kill him, but that David escaped that particular occasion twice from Saul. So I don't know if that means he went and took his javelin that he threw, that he missed David, and threw it again, or if he had another one by his side and threw a second one. But twice on that occasion, David escaped from Saul. Now again, I think he only escaped because God was with him. God blessed him. As the king and as a warrior, Saul was probably pretty good with a javelin. He was probably good with a spear. And so the fact that he was close to David and the fact that he missed was only because God divinely protected David and did it twice. Now, there's a couple more times. It happened again. The same thing happened again in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. And then 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 23. And Saul cast a javelin at him, David, to smite him. And again, he escaped those situations only by the grace of God, only by the protection of God, because Saul knew what he was doing. He was a spear thrower. He was a javelin thrower. He usually hit his mark, but on these three different occasions, he missed his target, and David's life was spared. Tonight, I would submit to you that there are people in your life that are throwing spears at you. There are people in your life that want to destroy you. They want to destroy your testimony. They want to destroy your service for the Lord. They want to destroy the joy that you have in the Lord. They want to destroy the peace that passeth understanding that you have in the Lord. And they cast spears at you. Now, let me stop for a minute. Usually, the spear throwers only throw their spears at people that are trying to do something for God. If you're not trying to do something for God, usually the spear throwers leave you alone. But if you're serving, if you're actively serving God, if you're witnessing for God, if you're trying to live for God, if you're trying to tell other people about Jesus, rest assured there are going to be some people that come into your life that throw spears at you and say, "Preacher, what do you mean? I've never had a spear thrown at me." Well, I'm being I'm using an example tonight. I'm not saying they're throwing spears at you, but they're insulting you. They're telling lies about you. They're spreading gossip. Did you hear this? No, I didn't hear this, but did you hear this? They're spreading gossip about you. They're saying hateful things about you. And again, usually it's the people that are doing stuff for God that the spears are thrown at. And the reason the spears are thrown is they're trying to get you upset. They're trying to get you to quit. They're trying to get you to drop out of the Christian army, where the Bible says there's no discharge in this war. If you're still here tonight, you're still fighting in the war. If you're still here tonight, God's got something for you to do. If you're still here tonight, there's a purpose for you being here. And as you try to serve God, be assured that there are people that are going to try to tear you down, that are going to try to destroy your testimony, that are going to try to get you discouraged, try to get you to quit so that you'll quit serving God. Now, these people like Saul are experts. You want to know why? Because they've had a lot of practice. You're not the first one that they've aimed at. There have been other people that they've thrown a spear at in the past. They're good at it. You know why they're good at it? Because they hang around and run with other spear throwers. And they encourage each other. And they help each other. In fact, they probably have spear thrower conventions where they all get together and say, "Hey, this is how we can attack these Christians. This is how we can bring them down. This is how we can get them discouraged. This is how we can get them to quit." And they share all their techniques about how to hit the target with their spears. Tonight, I have a real practical message. I want to give you 4 ways that you can deal with the spear throwers that come into your life. Now again, everybody has them. I believe that every Christian that's trying to do something for God will have somebody that tries to get them to quit. And they'll throw a spear. They'll throw something at you, something hurtful, something mean, a lie, a gossip, something hateful. But when somebody casts a spear at you, there's 4 things I want you to remember. Number one, I want you to remember you're not alone. You're in good company. They threw spears at Joseph. Joseph, his brothers did. They called him a dreamer. They hated him. Now, again, Jacob did something that no dad should do. No dad should show favoritism to his kids. No dad should do that. But that's what Jacob did. Joseph was Jacob's favorite. He made him a coat of many colors. He was his youngest son until Benjamin was born, and he gave Joseph preferential treatment. And his brothers hated him. They threw him into a pit. They sold him into slavery. They did everything they could to bring Joseph down. They threw spears at him. They threw spears at Moses. Everything was Moses' fault. I mean, as he was leading the people through the wilderness, they complained. They didn't like the food. They didn't like the fact that they didn't have all the water that they needed. And like, they didn't like the journey. They didn't like the way that Moses was leading. I mean, even Aaron, his right-hand man and his sister Miriam started complaining about Moses. Again, because they wanted to get him discouraged and bring him down. They threw spears at David. I mean, from the passage that we read in chapter 18, David had already been anointed the next king of Israel. Saul had already been disobedient and not killing all the people that God told him to kill. And remember, he brought the king back, King Agag, and he brought the animals back, and Samuel went out to meet him, and Samuel had given David instructions. Hey, when you go against this people, I want you to kill them all, kill every single one of them, kill all their animals. And Saul went, and he came back leading a bunch of animals and leading the king, and he came to Samuel and said, I did exactly what God told me to do. And Samuel said, what are all these animals doing here? And why the king? Why is the king still alive? I feel sorry for that king. I mean, instead of being killed by a saw, a soldier, you had a preacher take a sword and hack him to pieces. Preachers don't know nothing about hacking people to pieces. I'd rather be hacked to pieces by a soldier than I would a preacher. That king was hacked to pieces by a preacher. And Samuel said, hey, if you did what God said, why are all these animals here? And Saul said, well, it's better to sacrifice than, it's better to, I brought them to sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, Saul, it's better to obey than sacrifice. So David had already been anointed king. He was a shepherd in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. He was a savior in chapter 17 because he killed Goliath. He was a commander in chapter 18 because Saul had put him in charge of and part of the army. And in chapter 19, he was running for his life because Saul was throwing spears at him, trying to kill him because he was jealous of what David had accomplished. And for 10 years, Saul was on his trail trying to kill him, throwing spears at him. They threw spears at Elijah. You're not alone. You're in good company. The kings made fun of Elijah. They lied about him. Ahab was always after him. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you. And so they threw spears at Elijah. They threw spears at the Apostle Paul. The religious leaders did. The Pharisees did. The high council, the Sanhedrin, threw spears at Paul. Every place he went, people lied about him. Every place that he went, he was either stoned or beaten. And again, this was the spear throwers in the Apostle Paul's life that was trying to get him discouraged, that was trying to get him to quit, that was trying to get him to quit serving God. And then, by the way, they threw spears at Jesus. Huh? They threw spears at Jesus. They were always trying to trip him up. They were always trying to beat him down. They were always trying to catch him in something that they could use against him. They wanted to stop his ministry. They wanted to stop him preaching. They wanted to destroy him. And the final act that man did to him as he hung on the cross, after he died, what'd they do? The soldiers took a spear in his side. Water and blood flowed out from that wound. So when somebody or lots of somebodies try to throw a spear at you, you just remember you're in good company. You're in good company. You're not alone. Number two, when somebody throws a spear at you, I want you to remember the battle is not yours, it's God's. It's God's. When somebody throws a spear at us, what's our natural tendency? Our natural tendency is to go up and pick a spear and let them have it. Throw it right back at them. They tried to get me, I'm going to get them. Tonight, let me remind you, this battle is not yours. Amen. This battle is not mine. It is God's. God said in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. God says, I don't want you to fight back. This battle is mine. I will take care of it. George, stand up for a minute. I want to illustrate this verse about turning the other cheek. You're close. Most people in the Bible is a right-handed book. There were some left-handed people in the Bible, but most people are right-handed. If I'm facing George and I strike him with my hand, what cheek of his am I going to hit?
The left.
The left. Jesus said, if somebody smites you on the right, how do you smite, if you're right-handed, how do you smite somebody on the right-hand cheek?
Backhand.
Not backhand them, maybe, but I don't think that's what the Bible's talking about. Move out here. Move out here, Brother George. Turn around. The only way that a right-hand person can slap somebody on the right cheek is to come up behind them. That's what spear throwers do. They sneak up on you. They don't come and face you and let you have it. They come up and get behind you and let you have it. Here's what Jesus said. When they smite you on the right cheek, turn around and let them smite you on the other cheek. The left cheek. Okay, thank you, George. You didn't think I was going to slap you, did you? All these people were hoping I would, George, but I don't know. So Jesus said, when the spear throwers come up behind you and they slap you, they strike you on the right cheek because they're coming up behind you, then go ahead and turn. Let them smite you on the other cheek as well. And again, I'm not talking about people that come up and slap you. I'm talking about people that are backbiters. I'm talking about people that gossip. I'm talking about people that lie. I'm talking about people that slander you. Jesus said, if they do that, just turn around and let them do it again. Let them do it again. The battle's not yours. It's mine. I'll take care of it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, to me, God talking, to me belongeth vengeance. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Don't get mad, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think God will do a better job of getting vengeance than me. And I would rather see God take vengeance on a person than to do it myself. Because he's going to do a better job. God always does everything better than we do. And he will take vengeance better than we do. And so, when somebody throws a spear at you, remember you're not alone. You're in good company. And remember, the battle's not yours. It's God's. And then, number three, remember this. It is part of God's plan for your life. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? Somebody lies about me, somebody gossips about me, somebody says something hateful about me. These spears that are thrown at me, this is part of God's plan for your life. When somebody hurts me, yes, it's part of God's plan for your life. God was trying to make David, into the man that he wanted him to be the next king of Israel. And so when God had Saul come come after David, and David had to go on the run and live as a scavenger and run for those 10 years, that was part of David's or God's plan for David's life. I mean, when David brought Saul, when God brought Saul into that cave to take a rest, and David and his men were hiding on the sides of the caves, and David's men said to him, "Hey, God has brought your enemy right here. He's laying right here. Let's just take a spear and kill him." David said, "We can't do that. He's God's anointed. How can we get by with God's anointed?" Another time, the same thing happened. And Abishai, one of David's mighty men, was with him. And they found Saul sleeping. And Abishai said, let me take a spear. I'll kill him in one stroke, one blow. I'll kill your enemy. I'll kill this one that wants to kill you. I'll kill this one that wants to destroy you." And David said the same thing. No, we can't. This is God's anointed. David had to learn that vengeance was the Lord, and the people that were coming after him, he did not have to get back at them. He needed to leave that to God. It was part of God's plan to train David, to make David the kind of man that he needed to be the king. When Simei cursed him as he left Jerusalem. You remember when Absalom, his son, rose up in rebellion against David, and David fled Jerusalem, and this Jew, Simei, cursed him and threw dirt at him. And later when Solomon was about to take over the king, he asked his dad, "What do you want me to do with this guy? Do you want me to kill him because he cursed you? Because he threw dirt at you?" And David said, no, don't do anything to him. Now, Solomon set it up. He called Simei and said, "Hey, if you ever leave this city, I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you." And you know the story. If you know the story, he left the city and Solomon killed him. But David said, no, don't do him. And then think about Absalom. I mean, his son that led a rebellion against him. It caused him to flee from Jerusalem. And when David was charging the soldiers that were going out to fight Absalom's troops, he said, "Be kind and spare him." You see, God was working on David to help him realize the battle's not yours. You need to be forgiving. You need to be more like Christ. When somebody attacks us and lies about us and tries to hurt us, we need to say like Jesus did, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." And so the spear throwers that are in your life are part of God's plan for your life to make you more like Christ. Amen. So remember, you're not alone. You're in good company. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. And it's part of God's plan. Number four, this is my last point tonight. Satan is behind every spear thrower. He's the chief spear thrower. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he throws spears at Christians. Satan has two desires. I've mentioned this to you before. But he has two desires. His first desire is that everybody go to hell. Satan doesn't want anybody to be saved. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Satan is just the opposite. He wants everybody to go to hell. That's where he's going to spend eternity. He wants all the company he can get in hell. So that's his first desire. His second desire is for saved people. His desire for saved people is that he wants to destroy our testimony. He wants you to stop serving the Lord. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants to tear you down so you don't do anything for God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 tells us how to beat him on both counts. So this is a verse for the lost as well as the saved. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts or the spears of the wicked, Satan. Let me tell you some of the spears that Satan throws. I'm closing. I'm just about done. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Satan is after you. He throws spears at you. Here's what he'll tell you. Here's some of the spears he'll throw. He'll say, I know they say that everybody's a sinner, but you're not a sinner. You're a good guy. Why would God send a good guy like you to hell? God loves you. I mean, he wouldn't certainly not send a... And so you don't need to listen to the gospel. Because you don't fall in... And again, listen. Now listen, I'm telling you what Satan says. I'm not saying this. You make sure you listen and hear it right tonight. This is what Satan says. Yeah, God won't send you to hell. You don't need to listen to the gospel. And if you listen to the gospel, don't pay attention to it. I mean, don't pay attention when they say everybody's a sinner. Don't pay attention when they say the penalty for sin is separation from God, death, spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. Don't pay attention when they say that there's nothing you can do to pay for that sin. And certainly don't pay attention when they tell you that God loved you so much that he sent his son to pay what you owe. He sent his son to Calvary. And on Calvary, God put every one of our sins on his son, and Jesus paid the price for our sins. Here's what Satan says. Here's one of the spears he throws at those that don't know Christ. Don't pay attention to that. Don't listen. I mean, he preferred us not to listen. But if we listen, he says, don't pay attention to it. And if you listen and pay attention, here's the next spear he'll throw. Well, you don't got to get saved right now. You've got plenty of time. If you get saved, it's going to mess up your life. You won't have any fun. Christians can't have any fun. Everybody knows that. Don't tell this group of people, because we know Christians can have fun. But this is what Satan says. You don't have to get saved right now. You got plenty of time. You can do it, you can do it later. Those are the spears that Satan throws at people that are lost. Now, how do you ward off those darts? You take the shield of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look, you don't listen to Satan, he's going to hell. He wants you to go to hell. And he'll tell you all the lies that I just mentioned to keep you from listening to the gospel, paying attention to the gospel, heeding the gospel, and asking Jesus to be your Savior. Look, you may not realize it, but there was a battle going on at the altar this morning. When Michael came and Wendy said, hey, he's ready. And I said, what's he ready for? And she said, he's ready to get saved. I said, Michael, is that true? He said, yes, I am. There was a battle going on. Just because somebody comes to the altar and is about to ask Jesus to save them, doesn't mean Satan's given up. I mean, he'll do everything he can to put doubt in that person's mind. He'll do everything that he can to stop that person from praying the sinner's prayer and asking Jesus to save him. There was a battle going on up here this morning. God won. Amen? God won. God won. God won. So that's the kind of spears he throws at those that are lost. Now, here's the kind of spears that God throws at those that are saved. He says, look, one person cannot make a difference. You can't make a difference. Why try? Why do anything for God? You're just one person. You can't do anything for God. And by the way, you're going to mess it up anyway. You're just going to mess it up. Now again, I'm not making this up. I mean, if I ask you to hold your hands up, and I'm not going to ask you to hold your hands up, how many of you ever heard that from somebody? How many of you ever heard it from Satan? That's what Satan does. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to quit. He wants us to stop serving God. He's lost you to hell, and so he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants you to quit. So when those spears come, you remember you're not alone. It's God's battle, not yours. It's part of God's plan, and Satan is behind every spear thrower. I don't know about you tonight. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I like, and I know I've told you this before, but I think it's a good way to close tonight. I like what Billy Sunday said about fighting the devil. He said, as long as I got strength in my fist, I'm going to pound on Satan just as hard as I can. As long as I got strength in my feet, I'm going to stomp him for all I'm worth. He said, I hate the devil. He said, as long as I got teeth in my mouth, I'm going to bite him for all I'm worth. I hate the devil. And Billy Sunday said, when I get old and I don't have any strength in my fist and I don't have any strength in my feet and all of my teeth have fallen out, then I'm going to gum him for all I'm worth. Now, we ought to hate the devil. We ought to hate the devil just like that. He's behind every spear thrower that tries to get people, keep people from getting saved, and he's behind every spear thrower that tries to tear down Christians. Let's hate the devil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that we have in David. And I pray that you would encourage us tonight as we remember that we're not alone and that the battle's not ours, it's yours. And that is part of your plan for our life. And Father, when we realize that it's all from Lucifer, it's all from Satan, it's all from the devil, help us to be strong. Help us to take that shield of faith, hold it up, and quench the fiery darts of evil that are thrown our way. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, they'll realize they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. And if they come and receive him, they could have their sins forgiven, become one of your children. Pray for the Christians that are here tonight. Speak to our hearts. Father, if there's something that we need to do tonight, help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.